Hello and welcome to today's SearchSOA.com podcast. My name is Jack Vaughn and I'm Editor-in-Chief for SearchSOA. Today we will be discussing business process management, BPM. But as in the recent past, we will be discussing BPM in the context of SOA and EA. Our guest today is Alex Buterman. Alex is the founder of Sense Agility LLC, which is a technology asset and investment advisory service. Prior to forming Sense Agility, Alex Buterman's career spanned technical, management, and senior leadership positions in financial services and insurance, health sciences, and legal services verticals. He's a thought leader in this space, presenting at events such as Gartner Enterprise Architecture Summit and IBM Impact. Alex, hello.
Hi, Jack. How are you doing?
Well, good. Glad to have you with us today. What we'd like to do is get your take on both SOA and BPM, and more particularly as they relate to one another. Let me kick things off with a question. Is there something of a disconnect today, from your point of view, between the enterprise architects and the business architects?
I think that's a very, very good and salient point in today's world. Part of the disconnect, if you will, is that I don't think either discipline has clearly defined its roles and boundaries. So there is certainly a meeting of the minds in the middle, whereas the enterprise architecture tends to come at things from bottom up and the business architecture tends to come at things from top down. And when they meet in the middle is usually where I see the fireworks happening.
Do you have a sense? I know that one part about your practice is particularly unique, I'd say, as the element of risk analysis. When you're dealing with enterprise architecture, when you're dealing with BPM, what is the risk? How do you analyze that trait? What makes things successful?
Well, when we're dealing with things like business process management or enterprise architecture or even service-oriented architecture efforts, we're generally dealing with very, very large initiatives.
Okay.
Very, very large initiatives tend to be very risky. I think it's a fairly accepted metric out there that fooling 9 out of 10 initiatives of this sort will fail. It's been proven that way since they started keeping the numbers back in 2004 from Standish Group. And every year, somebody else is going to do a study, whether it was PMI in 2005 or Gartner in 2006, that really shows that these types of initiatives, by their very nature, are very risky. So when one approaches these initiatives, you absolutely have to take into account the risks associated with them and really be open about these risks and in order to start addressing them from the start. This is not something that you can just jump into and kind of wing. There is certainly a very structured way to analyze things that comes out of risk management areas, and that is almost requisite for the success of these initiatives.
Now, do you ever find that enterprise architects, or for that matter, business architects, have any sort of inborn sense of what's risky?
I think everybody has a comfort level with risk, and everybody has a risk tolerance level. Some of us are a little bit more risk-averse, especially coming from financial services, than others. Certainly, if you start looking at senior management, they're going to be a little bit more risk-averse than your typical architects are going to be. So I think the alignment of the tolerance levels, the thresholds, if you will, of what's acceptable and what's not, is also very critical towards the success of these initiatives.
Can you give me a sense of how you would approach the dialogue between the two sides, particularly from the point of view of risk? Do you find yourself saying, hold on, everyone, or even urging people to be more aggressive?
I think it really depends on the organization and the organization's culture and the people who are in the room. One of the approaches that I take to kind of getting these risk tolerance levels out on the table is not so much focusing on what the goals of the initiatives are or what services and processes that initiative is going to produce in the end, but really focusing on the capabilities that are going to be delivered by this particular initiative. And by capabilities, I'm talking about things that could be business in nature. I'm talking about things that could be technical in nature, or even organizational in nature. And each one of those capabilities, these types of capabilities, has risks that are associated with it, and in fact, the risks themselves have capabilities as well. So one of the ways to really align all four of those areas, the business, the technology, the organization, and the risk, is to start looking at what are the capabilities that the initiative produces and what are the capabilities that it needs in order to be successful. As an example, we hear a lot today about governance, risk, and compliance. We hear a lot about organizational maturity. Well, in our view, from Sense Agility point of view, we're looking at governance as an organizational capability. It could be expressed as data stewardship. It could be expressed as application ownership or application portfolio management. But each one of those capabilities is an organizational capability that is associated with a mature organization. And because they cannot exist in a vacuum, obviously, if we're talking application portfolio management, you have to have applications that you're going to manage. And you have to have a business process by which you're going to manage those applications. And you're going to have a risk scoring method by which you decide which applications you're going to keep and which applications you're going to retire. So obviously, they're all interrelated, but this is one of the ways that we go about aligning the various viewpoints to make sure that it's all aligned in the middle. And this really has a very interesting built-in advantage in that it almost invariably eliminates the kind of theological battles that the architecture community is very well known for.
Are business models useful in this regard? I guess what I'm wondering is, where do we find a language that takes out the politics or theology, if you will, so we have constructive arguments rather than hissy fits or people you know, protecting their technology at any cost?
Well, it is one of the ways. I think Gartner right now calls the capability analysis as kind of the Rosetta Stone, simply because it has this property. One of the difficulties that we faced historically in the IT world is that each of these areas that we're talking about, whether it's the business process models area, whether it's the technology area where the models are really your enterprise architecture models, whether it's risk management where you've had several things come out, whether from the audit side or from security side, but also has its own models, or the organizational areas and how we have models that are on organizational development and flawless execution, is that each one of these areas has come up with their own ways of dealing with a part of the overall opportunity.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, because these techniques have been put together by very smart people, oftentimes they suffer from one of two issues, systemic issues, if you will. Either they're very, very heavy and require a commitment of the size and scope that is almost unparalleled in the corporate world, or they make a lot of assumptions about the areas that they do not have expertise in, because at the end of the day, they are looking from a very, very specific viewpoint. So the capability analysis, and why Gartner calls it the Rosetta Stone now, is a way to basically align each one of these techniques with something that's a little bit different, but yet very much related to what we already know how to do.
Well, obviously, this is a complex area, and I think you have given us some food for thought. There's really a lot to consider here, but I think the view that you present helps technology managers form their own perspective. Alex, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Jack.
And I'd also like to thank our audience. This is Jack Vaughn for Search SOA, wishing everyone a pleasant day and even better tomorrow.